Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
By now in New York City, there's snow on the ground. And out in California, the sunshine's falling down. And maybe down in Memphis, Graceland's all in lights. And in Atlanta, Georgia, there's peace on earth tonight. Christmas in Dixie.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. There is peace on earth tonight and every night for those who follow the Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. This is the broadcast for December the 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed. We believe the blueprint for liberty is the answer. And yes, indeed, we believe the checks and balances are the great solution that we have at our fingertips. We also are convinced that following the principles of God, family, and country are the way to go forward, ladies and gentlemen. And we believe in Christmas. Merry Christmas to all of you. My kids like to say it's Adam Eve. Oh, wait a minute. What do they call that thing? It's Christmas Adam. The night before Christmas Eve is Christmas Adam, right? First came Adam, then came Eve. Anyway, there you have that. It is Christmas, ladies and gentlemen, in Dixie. And it's Christmas all over this great country. It is not snowing in New York, though. From what I understand, we're going to get, we're not going to have as much snow as we had thought we might get across the country. Time will keep an eye on that ball, but very interesting indeed. There's an avalanche warning in Utah. You got all kinds of natural disasters across the country. You got the COVID that they want to just peddle fear everywhere about. It is serious, ladies and gentlemen. You can get very sick and die from the COVID. Myself and Dr. Scott Bradley are here to tell you both of us got so sick. I recovered a little bit easier than Dr. Bradley, but both of us very, very, very sick indeed from the COVID. And some people could say, what is COVID, Sam? They can't even prove it exists. They don't have it isolated. You know, all that's true. It doesn't change the fact that people are getting very sick, though. You can tell me all day how the COVID's not real and how there's simple solutions to solve it. But not if I can't get a hold of those solutions, right? Anyway, I digress on your radio, except that is a serious situation indeed. Let's do a recap of yesterday's show real quick, shall we? We had two incredible guests on the radio yesterday. The first half hour of the first hour, we had on Dr. Murray Sabrin. Man, this guy's a great guy. He's a professor of finance at Ramapo College. He's retired now, but he immigrated with his family from West Germany to the United States a long time ago, back in 1949. He earned multiple degrees, ladies and gentlemen, including a PhD in economic geography. That's an interesting idea, economic geography, from Rutgers University. He also founded the Sabrin Center for Free Enterprise. You got to dig that libertarian standard, huh? He created the Sabrin Center for Free Enterprise in the Annisfield School of Business in 2007 with his dear wife, Florence. MurraySabrin.com is where you can get this information more about him. But him and his wife have been together for more than 50 years. You got to give them a kudos for that as well. Anyway, he jumped on the radio with us, and he's got a brand new book out. Murray's brand new book is basically called Navigating the Boom-Bust Cycle, An Entrepreneur's Survival Guide. You got to dig that, right? It sets out a provocative roadmap for right now, folks, for everybody, as Americans grapple with out-of-control inflation and the fears that relate to it. Great stuff from Murray Sabrin, by the way. What role does the Federal Reserve play in the boom-bust cycle? We talked about that. Small business owners are the backbone of America. How can they steer their businesses through the boom and bust cycle so they not only thrive, or not only survive, but thrive? How do we make both all that happen, right? How can corporate executives, their firms, and their employees not just survive, but thrive when economic bubbles burst, huh? Oftentimes, you do the opposite of what the market's doing. Warren Buffett's famous for highlighting that reality, right? What can you do to survive and thrive in the boom-bust cycle if you're a student? Is it smart to join the Great Resignation at this time? We talked about that. It was a great interview. So that was yesterday, first hour. Second hour, we had a guest on as well. Pete Sepp, president of National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org. NTU is the voice of America's taxpayers, mobilizing elected officials and citizens on behalf of tax relief and reform. Man, do we got to have relief and reform when it comes to taxes, don't we, folks? Yes, indeed. In fact, they say Texas and other places in the South are doing really well, attracting new business, and individuals are moving in big time, and home prices are cheaper there because they don't have a state income tax. Yeah. Good to know, huh? Anyway, Biden's failure of the Build Back Better bill, legislation, they call it a nightmare before Christmas. Amen to that. The passage of that would be a nightmare beyond Christmas. I'll tell you that right now. Beginning in 2017, ladies and gentlemen, there's a group you ought to know about. It's called the Problem Solvers Caucus. That's right. The Problem Solvers Caucus was created back in 2017. And it became an independent, member-driven group in Congress comprised of representatives from across the country and equally divided on both sides of the aisle. They're committed to finding common ground on the key issues that are facing our nation today, how to be fiscally responsible, and a whole lot more. See, there's a lot of good people doing a lot of good things you don't find out about until you have people like Pete Sepp and others on your radio. What a great job, Pete Sepp. What a class act. What a great guy. NTU.org. We wish a Merry Christmas to our NTU partners and family, for sure. All right, government admits they lost $100 billion. Yeah, they say $100 billion in COVID relief funds have been stolen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is the government has no authority, no obligation to make $100+ billion. Or any other for that dollars for that matter. It's not yours to give, as the famous Davy Crockett learned, right? And reality is they shouldn't have had $100 billion available for thugs to steal in the first place. But they did, and it happened, and now the government's admitting $100 billion. Merry Christmas, taxpayers. What a shame and a disgrace. From both sides of the aisle, this all happened under Republican leadership and control as well, didn't it? Yes, it did. So don't tell me the Republicans are the answer, because you're going to lose that one. Don't tell me when it comes to the courts the Republicans are the answer, because you're going to lose that one too. What has the Republican courts done for us lately? Very little. We talked about NTU doing a great job, though, rating each member of Congress and their voting record to determine how friendly they are, or unfriendly they are, if you will, to your taxes, right? And you can basically put in your congressman or senator's name and see how your legislator stacks up. You put in legislator, you select the House or the Senate, you select the state they're from, and then you simply get results. I did that for Devin Nunes. Why? Because Devin Nunes is the guy that Donald decides should head up his media operations, right? He's a Republican. He's in the House in California. For 2020, he got an 82%. It's not impressive, folks. It's not impressive at all. And that's the guy that's going to head Donald Trump's new media. Wow. Shame on Donald. Shame on Devin. Shame on them all. What a disgrace. Stand by the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. Push to reduce taxes. Push to spend less. The only one really doing that I see big time is Rand Paul. Mike Lee a little bit, but Rand Paul really, the only one pushing the penny plan. Can we spend one penny less this year than we did last year? Can we just do the 99 cents to a dollar plan and decrease our spending 1%? Congress rejected Rand Paul's proposal out of hand. What a shame it is, as both houses, both parties, the whole body, guilty of spending us into oblivion, guilty of robbing the next generation by putting them in servitude, in debt, robbing them of their liberty, robbing them of their economic freedom. What a shame it is when we can't get a hold of our own affairs. And then we want to turn to these people to be our leaders going forward. What a disgrace. We also talked about Joe Biden told reporters that he was not supposed to have a press conference. Oh, yeah, Joe? I call that a national security threat, man. Who the heck is telling the president of the United States, the leader of the free world, the chief executive of the greatest country on the planet, the leader of the greatest military in the world, who's telling him what he's supposed to do and not supposed to do, huh? And who elected those critters, may I ask? It's a national security threat. You say, well, Sam, that's just kind of a phrase that he uses. No. He said it multiple times. I'm not supposed to be talking to the press. I'm not supposed to do this. I'm not supposed to do that. Who is pulling the puppet strings on Joe then? Joe, who is your puppet master, sir? Again, another disgrace in America when we don't even know who's in charge. You can talk about election fraud all day, but set aside the election fraud of how Joe even got there. Who's pulling his strings? Who's the puppet master now that he's there, may I ask? You are listening to the one and only hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use talk radio program known as Liberty Roundtable Live.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Away in a manger, no crib for his bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love
thee. All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman continuing our recap of yesterday's broadcast. Joe Biden literally has a press conference, claims he's not supposed to have one. Don't know who's controlling the puppet strings for the president, if you can accept that he's the president in the first place due to the election fraud scandal there. But in addition to that, he goes, in my opinion, absolutely out of control. Joe Biden literally saying this at the press conference. It's immoral. Stop it. Biden scolds purveyors of lies about pandemic. Yeah. And then he creates a supposedly Christmas miracle. Biden states that vaccinated Americans could enjoy Christmas safely. He says to the non-vaxxed, you guys are going to have a winter of death. Now, what a dividing statement from a president that kicked off his, quote, presidency claiming that he wanted to unite. Could you divide more than that, Joe? See, I don't accept Joe as the legitimate president personally. I get the peaceful transfer of power, but when you're dishonest and create an insurrection on January 6th, who created the insurrection? Your government did, ladies and gentlemen. And they blamed it on the Patriots, okay? More and more evidence coming out about that. We'll document that more as we go on in several future broadcasts. Biden says getting vaccinated is a patriotic duty. Not when you realize that vaccinations cause misery, injury, and death, Joe. You got to understand that we're getting more and more evidence from research that, hey, even the VAERS database shows 20,000 plus deaths due to the COCO vaccination. But new studies show it's probably 20 times that number. So now you've got 400,000 deaths due to the vaccine, and they claim that that's probably underestimating the numbers. You got 800,000 deaths according to the COCO if you believe the statistics, but most of those are elderly people that would probably pass away anyway. I'm not defending death, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just telling you that it's a crapshoot. The vaccines aren't any safer than the COVID virus itself. But Anthony Fauci on MSNBC said on Tuesday's, quote, The Beat, that considering the highly contagious Omicron variant, unvaccinated family members should be asked not to attend your Christmas holiday festivities. Shame on you, Fauci. Shame on you, shame on you, Biden, for dividing the public. Now they're literally saying, hey, tell people that are not vaccinated not to attend Christmas. Shame on them. Shame on their press conference. They claim without evidence that Omicron is now the dominant strain in the U.S. How do they know that? The average American can't even get a test, ladies and gentlemen. Hardly. Biden announces plan to mail Americans 500 million at-home COVID rapid tests. Well, right now, only the elite can get the rapid test. The rest of us are struggling as they ration testing. He was asked by a journalist at his press conference, hey, don't you think that the fact that we don't have testing available now is a failure? And he literally goes, no, the COVID happened so fast, how could we have known? The Omicron variant occurred so quickly we couldn't have known. Whether you got the Omicron variant, whether you got the D or Delta variant, whether you got whatever preceded that and that in the original, it's been 2 years of literal lockdowns and shut your business down and shut schools down. And it's been a year since the vaccine came out, but we still don't have appropriate testing. You got to ask why, and you can't deny that it's a failure, no matter how deceptive and dishonest Joe is about it. Children can see Santa, get vaccinated, and receive a $100 debit card in Baton Rouge, Louisiana right now. Why, if the COVID vaccine is so valuable and good, do you got to convince people with $100 literally, you know, cards? You can see Santa if you get the vax. Reggie Marion with the article on that. Fauci says if you're vaxxed and if you're boosted and you make sure you continually wear your mask, you'll be okay. Oh, yeah, tell that to all the bureaucrats that are getting the COVID, even though they're all vaxxed. All breakthrough infections are so rare that congressmen and senators are announcing by the several that have it now. Already 2 senators out of 100 have breakthrough infections. They say, don't worry, thank heavens for the vaccines now that it's so mild. So they're literally admitting that it doesn't stop anything, but it makes it more mild, they claim. How do they know? How do they know it's more mild than it would have been? They say 40% of the population already has mild In fact, 40% of the population are asymptomatic. They don't even know they have the cocoa. NYPD orders all cops to mask up regarding vaccination status. It doesn't matter if you're vaccinated or not. They literally say, hey, you got to mask up anyway. We don't even care. Folks, that is just a disgrace. Right? Didn't they tell us if you're vaccinated, you were going to be okay? Now they're about to change the definition of fully masked. Right? What gives of that? Now, even if you're vaccinated with two shots, and even if you have a booster shot, it's still not good enough anymore. Because they know breakthrough infections are happening. They know people that are vaxxed are spreading it. They know that new studies are coming out showing the Omicron variant literally increases your likelihood of getting infected if you've been vaccinated. They know all that. But they continue to lie. And then they tell you it's your patriotic duty to get vaccinated. And then they tell you it's the only safe way. That's the only way you can enjoy Christmas. Otherwise, uninvite your enemies, the non-vaxxed. This is the guy that wanted to unify. The guy that wanted everybody to come together. The guy that wanted to go ahead and unite. Now he's dividing us like you would not believe. But I guess it's better than the UK. Now they got home monitoring in the UK for the infected. They're going to monitor you at home. It's kind of, I don't know if they're going to use an ankle bracelet, but it's kind of like being in jail. Wow. What a shame, ladies and gentlemen. Sarah Palin standing up pretty boldly, though. Sarah Palin told a crowd of people that were attending a Turning Point USA or TPUSA conference. It was on Sunday. She refuses to get vaccinated against COVID-19. She says it'll be over my dead body that I'll have to get a shot. I will not do it, she said, to a cheering crowd in Phoenix, Arizona. I will not do it. And they better not touch my kids either, she said. I'm pretty bold from Sarah. I agree with her. Folks, whether you agree with the vaccine or not isn't the point. Whether you want to take the vaccine or not isn't the point. Whether you believe they're safe and effective or not isn't the point. The point is we should all be able to choose for ourselves. That's the real point. You know what? I may not agree with what you say, but I agree that you have the right to say it. The First Amendment. Okay, that relates to this. I may not agree with what you do, but I support your right to do it. For example, Donald Trump loves the vaccines. Okay? He loves them. And he just promoted that he took the third booster jab, and he's all excited about it. Joe Biden gave a shout-out to Donald and said, hey, we don't agree on much, but we agree on the vaccines. Thank heavens for the Trump administration getting this rolling. Donald Trump said, thank you so much. And so now there's love between Joe and Donald over the vaccines. They're all celebrating, in my opinion, a great lie, a great dishonest manipulation. But here's the deal. They have the right to think that if they want to. They have the right to take the vaccinations, and they have the right to talk about it in glowing terms if they choose. They call me a liar because I don't believe in the vaccines, and I believe they're not safe or effective. And I believe they're withholding information about the truth regarding vaccinations. So it's a dishonest narrative on their part, but they're going to run around and say, shame on you. You're making money for lying. I'm not making any money, Joe. How much money are you making, my friend or Donald? You're getting fortune and fame off of your vaccination agenda. I'm not getting anything for my stance. In fact, I'm getting kicked off Twitter and shut down on half the platforms in the country because of my stance. I'm not making any money or have any financial gain. I know when you say ivermectin doesn't work, it saved my life. So I don't believe for one second your narrative on ivermectin because, well, I've got factual personal testimony of a difference. Literally could not breathe without oxygen. After taking ivermectin, within hours, I could breathe on my own. It is irrefutable in my personal case. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds with our guest on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Supreme Court announced it will hold oral arguments on January 7th to consider legal challenges to President Biden's COVID-19 vaccine mandate for healthcare workers and large companies. Biden's mandate says private companies with at least 100 employees must ensure that their workers are either fully vaccinated or tested weekly, and all healthcare workers at federally funded facilities must also get vaccinated. Fraudsters stole roughly $100 billion in pandemic relief funds from the CARES Act. The stolen funds represent 3% of the $3.4 trillion dispersed to the American public. Roy Dotson with the Secret Service on CNBC.
I've been in law enforcement for over 29 years and worked some complex fraud investigations for, 20-plus years, and I've never seen something at this scale.
To date, 900 investigations are taking place, more than 100 arrests have been made, and $2.3 billion have been returned. USA Radio News.
I'm Dr. Baker, an ER physician. If you're having leg pain, swelling, or redness, but haven't talked to your doctor yet, don't wait. This could be deep vein thrombosis, a blood clot which could travel to your lungs and lead to a pulmonary embolism, which could cause chest pain or discomfort or difficulty breathing and be deadly. Your symptoms could mean something serious, so don't wait. Talk to a doctor right away, by phone, online, or in person.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
You need an accurate thermometer to check for fever, a potential sign of flu or COVID. Be vigilant and contact your medical provider at the first sign of fever. Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate in more than 100 clinical studies. Exergen Temporal Scanners are available at Walmart and other fine retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com. That's Exergen.com. Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
Could Democrat Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia become a Republican? Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says the Republicans would give the senator the respect he deserves.
Democrats are still trying to move forward with President Biden's nearly $1.8 trillion spending package after Senator Joe Manchin voiced his opposition to it, citing the hefty price tag and inflation concerns. Senate Majority Leader from Kentucky Mitch McConnell joins Fox News and says he admires Senator Manchin for sticking to his guns and says he's welcome to join the Republican Party if he wants.
I've suggested a good solution to his problem would be to come across the aisle and join us, where he'd be treated with respect. You recall the White House basically called him a liar Sunday, treated with respect, and find himself in agreement with the party he was caucusing with most of the time.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Gentlemen, he will bring us goodness and light if we turn to him and repent and keep his commandments. Blessings abound, so much so that there's not room enough to receive. If we don't keep his commandments, though, hey, trouble is on the way. We've got an incredible guest with us, ladies and gentlemen. His name is Adam Hines. He's got a master's degree in Christian theology and conflict management. That's an interesting combination, Christian theology and conflict management. From Lipscomb University. He's also the co-host of a podcast called the In Pencil podcast, ladies and gentlemen. And Adam is passionate about leadership, religion, conflict management, equality, and liberty. Sir, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you having me on today.
All right, we got so much to talk about, so little time. Give us a thumbnail of who you are first, Adam, just in your own words. Who? Tell us who you are.
That's kind of a loaded question. I kind of get the sense that I'm like a conglomeration of different things. I've served in the military. I've worked for different nonprofit organizations, including the Boy Scouts. I've studied religion and Christian theology specifically, but religions at large for, I would say, heavily probably for the past 10 years or so. I'm a supporter of veterans and veterans organizations. I'm an advocate for like an anti-war agenda. If you ask me who I am, I don't know how to really summarize myself in any concise sentence, honestly.
Well, you've done well. You've been a worldwide traveler as well, right?
Yes, sir. I think I've been to, last I counted, probably 31 countries overall, I believe. And I can't even remember the last new country I've been to. A lot of places I've been several times. And in fact, I'm overseas right now, which is kind of why I was delayed getting on, because time difference. But yeah.
All right, Adam's overseas now, ladies and gentlemen. But I want to talk about vaccine in the armed forces, because I've been talking about Joe and his press conference about vaccines and everything else. I believe he's lying. He says that I'm lying and peddling misinformation. But you know what? If we're going to talk about leadership, if we're going to talk about conflict management, you know, the COVID-19 has created the greatest conflict America's ever known in modern times, Adam.
Yeah. I don't know where to begin with that statement. I guess I can speak kind of, you had mentioned about vaccines in the military, so I guess I'll speak about that for a moment. So the military has come out with policies recently that if you are not vaccinated, then you'll be discharged. I think that the worst kind of discharge you can get is a general under honorable conditions, which still preserves like your VA rights and your disability rights. But I think if you get a general under honorable conditions, then you may lose your like your educational benefits, like your GI Bill. Not many people that I know of in the military are opting to get out or to not get vaccinated. Most people are just getting vaccinated because they're compelled to through policy, which is, I think, generally accepted in the military and in the like DOD and government communities, because when you first join the military, you're injected with all sorts of things that we don't really know what any of those things actually are until later on, whenever we start actually researching what, like our medical records and stuff. So, I think the general consensus in the military and government communities is that it's fine to be vaccinated, and there's not really a whole lot of protest to it, and most people who are getting out understand the consequences of that. So there's not much real conflict to manage in those communities, I don't think.
I know everything's going to court. I know that Matthew Staver and those at Liberty Counsel are suing over this, where they want to defend military members that want religious exemptions and want what they call conscientious objector exemptions.
Right.
And what's interesting about this is that Matt is saying, hey, you know what? The government said that they would allow these exemptions. But the fact is, the court kind of backed off and said, okay, let's monitor this and give the government time to grant these exceptions. But the government's really thumbing their nose. The military's really thumbing their nose at the courts and Matt Staver now, even with that kind of preliminary guidance from the courts, to the point where, hey, people are battling this and getting fired and or getting vaxxed, even though it's still running through the courts. There's not due process on this at all. In other words, Matt Staver writes, we've found more egregious abuses. Go ahead, sir.
No, I was going to say, from my perspective, I don't think that anybody that I know is really tracking that progress. I think that people who really have their thumb on policy discussions and politics are tracking it more than probably the people who are on the ground where I've been. And so I'm not really honestly educated on that. Discussion that's going on at a larger level. I think most people are just sort of generally accepting the fact that this is the inevitability and this is kind of the world that we live in. And I think that at large, in society at large, I think that there's probably the same kind of thing going on, or most people on the ground are pretty much either in a defeated mindset where if they want to protest the vaccine, they're either still compelled to get it by either their workplace or by maybe their family's compelling them to get it or whatever. But I feel like most people probably are at a point now, aside from, like, in the Liberty community, I think there's still a lot of resistance. I think, but at large, I think society is pretty much generally accepted that this is the inevitability. And it's kind of just like it is with every other thing that changes in society. It's you go along to get along. And that sort of coercive nature of the social systems that we live in, kind of any resistance that's brought up by minority groups or people who may be passionately interested in fighting that fight, those are generally the minorities, and I think most people always go towards a side of just general acceptance and passive obedience after a certain amount of time. Like, the fights may happen initially, but it just seems like that's just sort of the world that we live in, and I think that general acceptance is the way that people are moving. I hope that makes
sadly,
sense.
Sadly, that's true. Now, Matt Staver, though, has a headline that says, "Busted, military memo leaked." And then he says, "Joe Biden's Department of Defense, or the DOD, is acting like it's above the law." And then he says, "But this lawlessness will have to answer to the court in our class action lawsuit, Navy SEAL 1, because they don't want to name people, versus Biden." That's kind of an interesting headline in my mind, where people are fighting back, right?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think there are outliers who will fight the system, and I think there are outliers who will separate and go on their way in the civilian world. But I don't think that I'll hold any water on a macro level. I think that if one person wins a fight like that, I think that's great for that one person, but I don't think it'll change any overarching policies. And unfortunately, that's kind of the mindset that most service members and most people in the DOD and contracting communities are in, at least as far as I can tell, in honesty. And I don't know a whole lot about the Matt Schaefer case or any of those things.
I know this. It's an epic battle. How's it going around the world, though, in terms of different from the United States? In the United States, there's a lot of lawsuits being filed. There's a lot of pushback, but yet who knows who will get their way. But around the world, it's a whole lot more tyrannical, isn't it?
It seems that way. The places that I've been, the places that I have contacts in at the moment, places like the UK and other countries, I don't really want to say like where I am or anything, but places where I'm at, it seems to be the same kind of thing. There are levels of, I guess, concern that local governments will put out, and effectively all of the local population is compelled to follow that level of concern. So if they raise like a health protection threat level to an increased level, then people are wearing masks more often. And if you're caught out in town without a mask, then you're fined. So there's a lot of like really coercive actions that most governments that I can find that I've observed.
All right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Adam Hines with me. He's known as the co-host of the In Pencil podcast.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love get married, and have some kids.
The CDC just reported that 7,218 people died after receiving a COVID-19 shot. Granted, vaccines are a complicated concoction of chemicals, and as with any medical experiment, it can take a long time to get it right. This is not the first time people have been hurt when vaccinated. What is different this time, and so concerning, is the reaction to these death numbers. Let me explain. In 1976, the government vaccinated 45 million people for swine flu. A total of 53 people died after getting that shot, and the U.S. government immediately halted the vaccination program. Why? Because authorities decided it was too much of a risk. Why would they halt the program back then for 53 deaths, but now, with over 7,000 deaths, they are using every method possible to force it on you? In fact, now the health authorities are using their power to silence anyone who dares to question the COVID vaccination. Why? Why is anyone that questions COVID silenced? Even doctors are being censored. What's up with that?
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor.
VoteBundy.com.
Gentlemen, your military admits that shots are causing injuries, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, they're being forced to admit it there now. They pretend we're liars, but you know what? Let's catch them at it. Let's double down. Let's have a real, honest, open discussion about this. Members of the military are simply being told lies, ladies and gentlemen. They're being told that COVID shots are safe. Even when Biden's Department of Defense, the DOD, knows they're causing serious heart conditions for male service members. And they are also being told the shots are fully approved, when even the FDA admits there are no approved COVID shots available in the United States. This is what we're dealing with, folks. So Joe literally lies. The military literally lies. And now there's class action lawsuits. People are going to prison over this. People are getting dishonorably discharged over this. It's a serious, serious problem in the military. Adam, as you are in the military, let's ask this. Are you finding the rank and file are pretty frustrated and a lot of people are concerned, or do most people just ignore it and only the few stand up?
So from my perspective, it seems like most people are pretty much just in a sort of passive acceptance sort of stance. I don't know that my military affiliation, I'm not necessarily in the military, just to be clear, I'm not active duty. But my affiliation puts me in close contact with those that are, and it seems like most people are pretty much in just an acceptance. And some people, it seems like, almost look at it as like a safety net. Like, I think they pretty much accepted the narrative that, you know, this will keep you safe from the vaccine or from the virus and or whatever variants are out there. And not only that, but a lot of the times, whenever there are travel requirements for people who are working for the government in any capacity, a lot of the travel requirements, even if it's not instituted by the military, it's instituted or by the government or any other like DOD or Department of State entity, it's instituted by the countries where people travel. So anytime you want to travel overseas to any other country, pretty much, there's going to be a COVID requirement. And a lot of times it's going to require not only PCR tests, but it's also going to require proof of vaccination before you're allowed to travel. So it's not just like the government or the military that's really instituting all these regulations. It's pretty much society at large and governments and private institutions like airlines and corporations that seem to be instituting these rules. And they all kind of seem to fall in line with one another, wherein the government or a private company may institute a rule that you need to be vaccinated, and that lines up with the airline's law or the airline's rule that you need to be vaccinated or you need to have a PCR test before you can board an aircraft. So I think there's, generally speaking, amongst the military and government employee, DOD contracting, all the communities that I'm familiar with, they seem to all kind of fall in line with these regulations. Like I said, the outliers and the non-participants are generally in the minority, at least from my perspective.
You know, I think you've hit, Adam, on the real problem in America. You know what? The military is a good sampling of society. And I'm telling you, if everybody's just resigned to the fact, if everybody just says, oh, it'll provide protection, if no one does their research, nobody wants to push back, nobody wants to stand up, I would say this, we're in serious, serious trouble. And as I mentioned before on this broadcast many, many times, it isn't whether you're for the vaccination or against it. It's that we should support people's choice. When there's a potential for harm, which there is, they even admit it, then you know what? We should be able to make up our own mind, our own decision. And whether you agree with somebody's position or not isn't the point. You need to agree that they have the right to their position. Is that message getting across at all to anybody?
From what I can tell, I don't believe so. I believe, from my personal perspective, I guess I assign the term libertarian to myself very loosely, but I personally concur with the idea that as individuals, you should have the ability to decide for yourself what you take into your body and how much of what you're taking into the body, and you should have at your disposal the amount of information that would be required for you to make an educated decision as a functioning adult. What kind of, whether it's a vaccine or medication or food or alcohol or any other substance or anything that goes into your body, you should be able to make a decision for yourself. And I think that I believe, based on what I observed, that in the future, I kind of get a sense that we're going to lose some sort of, people as a whole are going to lose some sort of authority over ourselves. And I think that's my main concern. It's not about, for me, it's not about government policy. It's not about laws. It's not about the military. It's about how much authority do we have over our own bodies. If you present to me a vaccine or any other substance that is proven to have benefits for me, then I think I'd be compelled to take it without issue. But when you coerce people through policy or through laws or through rules or through airline regulations or any other sort of overarching form of coercion, I guess, then I think you sort of violate the sanctity of the individual. And I think that's kind of where my main issue is with the vaccines, more or less. And I understand why people are compelled to get vaccinated, because people have been brought into a state of fear over the unknown. And I think the fear of unknown in a lot of situations drives people to take action to protect themselves. And this is what they're being told will protect them in this particular circumstance. But throughout the course of human history, we've always, in a self-interested way, done things to protect ourselves in a response to the fear of the unknown. And I think that's kind of exactly what we're dealing with in this situation. I think fear drives action, and sometimes the action is good, and sometimes the action is questionable. And I think in this situation, I understand why people would think that this is questionable, and in some ways, I have a lot of questions about it too. I hope that all makes sense.
My response is simple. Whether you agree with the vaccines or not, whether you like them or not, whether you think they're safe and effective or not, really isn't the point here. The point is government has no authority to force. Yeah. That's really the bottom line, and they're abusing their authority. In America, we have checks and balances. In America, we have the rule of law, which says, hey, Congress hasn't made a law that says somebody has to take a vaccine. And even if they make a law like that, it should be challenged on constitutional grounds, but they don't have authority to make those kind of laws. They can't make any law they want to. They've got to make laws that follow the proper role of government. In other words, the federal government only has limited jurisdiction based on the consent of the governed and based on the guidelines in the contract, the document, the Constitution. This isn't something where they can just do whatever they want to. And so that's kind of really where I'm pushing back. If somebody wants to take a vaccine, you know, a lot of people booed Donald when he said he took the vaccine. And I'm criticizing the booers, saying, you know what, stop that. He has every right to think for himself and do what he wants to do. You may not like it, but you better defend his right or you'll lose yours, Adam.
Yeah. 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 I tend to concur, but like I said, in the communities that I exist in, there's not a whole lot of actual room for resistance. It's more about compliance or pretty much you're out of a job. And I think it's like that for a lot of communities and a lot of organizations and industries across. Across the world, it's definitely that way. In the U.S., I think that there's a little bit more of an advantage for people who are dissenters, because there's a little more room because of our nature of having an adoration for freedom. I think we have a lot more room for movement whenever we decide to dissent or to go against the grain when it comes to like.
And amen for that, by the way, rather than melting down in the streets and getting our heads beat in and hauled off to jail,
sure. We
at least have a civil dialogue to some degree at this point. Adam, we're about out of time. Tell us about your podcast and where people can get it.
Sure. So my podcast is basically a discussion with me and my best friend of 23 or 24 years. We've been kind of hanging out the past couple of years and just talking about basically everything from philosophy to religion to video games to music. And it's really more of like a personal podcast. It's not really meant for like public broadcasting or whatever. I mean, it is publicly available, but it's an intimate discussion. It's called In Pencil, and it comes from when we were kids, we used to write a lot of poetry and music together, and as weird as it sounds. And we used to like put in these little books, and we called the collection In Pencil because we wrote it in pencil. So now the podcast is called In Pencil, and it's inpencil.live, just INPENCL.live. So
there's not a dash or a dot.
No dash.
Okay, so
there's a dot in the name, but in the URL, it's just In Pencil.
Inpencil.live.
Yeah, In Pencil. LIVE. Yes, sir.
All right, that's fantastic. Adam, we appreciate it, sir. Peace in your travels across the world as you travel. In my opinion, stand for the libertarian principles that matter, which is, hey, you know what? We believe you have a choice. We don't believe in dictators. We believe that you should choose for yourself, and whether you agree or not with your decision, we stand for your right to decide that. We believe in the live and let live principle, in other words. Hopefully that can be the message throughout the world that we tell the tale of, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, we sure appreciate it. Thank you, sir. Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting
scouts.
Yeah, we're flat out of time, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The Boy Scouts of America, ladies and gentlemen, used to be a wonderful organization. I'm an Eagle Scout and loved it. Sadly, though, again, they've forced this agenda. They've forced the woke agenda on us to the point where now the Boy Scouts isn't what it once was. Sad tale to tell. Hard to deal with. Hard to understand what's happened to some of the greatest institutions in the greatest country on the face of the earth. All right. Out of time, ladies and gentlemen. Hour one in the can. Hour two coming up. I am Sam Bushman. Merry Christmas to all of you. It's interesting we had Adam on. His incredible podcast about all kinds of things. Inpencil.live. I am Sam Bushman. God save the Republic.